We have been inundated with men training men, not leaving women out of the equation, but men training men how to look and sound like Christians. Where you should simply know the Lord.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on April 2nd, 2025, and is titled Finding Jesus in the Passover, Part 4. We will be beginning in Genesis, so grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter your upbringing, no matter your color, no matter anything, you should know the Lord. How did that happen? Because of Pentecost. That was my point a minute ago. Because we're so busy over here playing with the resurrection, we totally missed the fullness of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. So I'm Pentecostal plus 15. That's what the word Pentecost, you know why? Because it was 50 days after Passover that the Holy Spirit was poured out. The Bible says Jesus ascended to fill the universe. The Bible says in Psalms 110, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where's heaven? Everybody who knows where heaven is, knows where heaven is. It's the dwelling place of God. It's a kingdom that has a king. And it's been revealed. Unless a man be born again, he will not see, nor will he enter the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus says in John chapter 3, he says, what's a man to do? What's a man to do? Get in your mother's womb? No. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. I made a covenant with you, Abraham, that it would be a circumcision of the flesh. But now watch. Go to Romans chapter 2. Is there anybody here that's hearing this for the first time ever? Anybody? I'm just curious. Okay, well, everybody's heard it once, you're going to hear it again. This is probably all I got to tell for the rest of my life, really. So in 2:25, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. So if you're going to live by circumcision of the flesh, do you know what that means? You got to keep your flesh perfect. I'm done. I'm already... I'm in the dung heap, man. This ain't going to work. Is anybody else in here like me? Got a little trouble keeping the flesh perfect. He says right here, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if I don't keep all the rules, then I no longer have covenant with God. Do you know how many religions, how many tribes of our Christianity in the earth has made up their own rules? Just like April Fool's Day, and told you if you don't keep these rules that God is not going to have anything to do with you. And even worse than that, they're going to tell you you're going to hell. If it makes you smile or it makes you laugh, or if it keeps you out of the building on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, if it keeps you from being honest about your 10%, you're going to hell. That is baloney. That is baloney. But if that's how you're going to choose to live your Christian life, don't screw it up. Because when you do, your circumcision no longer counts. If this is where you're going to hang your hat, if this is how you're going to stay in covenant with God, ain't going to work. But he says right here, it won't be, it says, therefore, if any uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his circumcision be counted as circumcision? Sure. 10 commandments and 630 some odd amendments. Go ahead. That ain't even counted what we've added to the deal since way back yonder. And he says, and will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who even with your own written code and circumcision are transgressions of the law. So he's talking about judgment for the circumcised and the uncircumcised. For, here's the deal, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Remember what I told you about Romans 9 and Galatians 3? No longer the descendants of Abraham who are considered Israel, but it is the children of the promise. Galatians 3 says, by one seed with a capital S, that would be Jesus Christ, that you and I have now become children of the promise. He is not a Jew, is one outwardly, nor circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. How many of us grew up in our religious community pleasing men? Do you know why I had an Easter Sunday service here for the last 5 years, and then finally y'all helped me last year out of my trap? I wanted to please y'all. Wasn't nothing pleasing to God about it. And I knew it. But I was too weak. My flesh was weak. My spirit was willing, but my flesh was weak. So until I got y'all's approval, I couldn't do it. You know we're geared that way. It's way easier to be a people pleaser. It's way easier just to go along to get along. Nobody wants to rock the boat. If anybody wanted to rock the boat, listen to me, people, we would not be doing what we do today as Christians if anybody wanted to rock the boat. Nobody wants to rock the boat, so we keep doing the same old, same old, same old, and that is Webster's epitome of stupid, is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. And here we are. We have a generational promise, and we're a generational disaster. We've been given a piece of land, and everybody told you you didn't belong here, and we can't wait till the great escape. It's all been foolishness. Because we didn't want to do chapter and verse. And we didn't want to ask the Holy Spirit. We'll just read somebody else's book. Oh, I'm sorry you came to the wrong place. I've been reading one book. I didn't find any of this in anybody else's book. If you did happen to bump onto a guy like Smith Wigglesworth or something, they've already taken him off the shelves and put him in the back room because he's not as popular as the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, feel good, do good, get up, cheerleader. Oh, my God. I could be one of them, you know, and fill this place up. But I'd have to start taking up an offering. so I could buy my airplane. I mean, that's the plan. That's how that works. But your praise is from God. Is God pleased with your learning? Is God pleased with your teaching? And a hush fell over the crowd. You see, if you'll just quietly keep your mouth shut, men will be pleased with you. Not talking about attendance. I'm talking about people who know a lot now. For whom much has been given, much is expected. Y'all should have never let me skip Easter last year, because after that I ain't been afraid of nothing. Look over here in Colossians 2. We're just about done. Honestly, I want to hear it from you guys, because, I mean, you're here, and I know every week there's a new one pops in and there's some you don't see again for a while. And it always makes me wonder, you know, what did I run somebody off? Did I do something wrong? I mean, I think about that stuff. I'm not as brash as I put on sometimes. I mean, I really do care. But I just want to know, why are you here? Are you hearing something you hadn't heard before? Are you learning anything? Or am I just nuts and you came to watch? Both. Are you here because you're sick of being somewhere else and this is the only place that doesn't act like somewhere else? I hope you're here to listen to the Word of God, and I hope you're here to get this. And honestly, if you think I'm crazy or you think I'm totally wrong, please don't leave. Come tell me why you think I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, then please help me get right. I know you will, Carolyn. You try hard. It hasn't worked very good, but boy, you're changing a lot. I know you ain't done yet. As long as there's a telephone and a text message, I know we're still in business. And look, we pick on each other, but I love it. She's not afraid of me. She's not afraid of me. And she's not afraid of asking hard questions and addressing the hard stuff, because honest to God, people, look what's happened in America before I finish up this deal tonight. We're doing hard stuff. 2 months in the White House, and there's been more things happen than there has in the last 45 years. Why? Because there's a lot to do. And you got a group of people that want to pick on every move that somebody makes. They want to yap their flap. They couldn't find north from south. We all know it. But we got to stand up and do the hard stuff. And sometimes the hard stuff that's happening in America today is going to hit right in your own mailbox. It's going to hit right in your own pocket. Everybody's going to get a little taste of this. Everybody's going to share in the misery. Because we got to right the wrongs. Is that not right? Why won't we do it in Christianity? Boy, y'all get quiet quick. Why won't we right our wrongs? Why do we believe that the status quo is how God planned it to be? How'd we get trapped up to where we were so ignorant about God that we didn't know any better and just followed man? When are we going to be ready to face the music? And let me tell you, nobody outside that Bible's got no bullets in their gun. I done been test drove. They got nothing. They're no different than Pharaoh standing on the porch calling for the magicians, calling for all the people, calling for anything he could call on until he finally just called calf rope. Nobody. Not George Soros, not Hollywood movie stars, not professional sports leaders, not people who have left and went to Holland, are any match for God Almighty and Almighty God. If that's who we are, if that's who we are, then why are we still followers of men and not followers of God? Because if you've been circumcised with the Holy Ghost, you now dwell in the kingdom and the presence of God Almighty. You don't have to go to a building and find him. He doesn't show up. God doesn't have this calendar where he just makes his presence known at a certain hour on a certain day once a week. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard. No. Pentecost. For he is not far from us, as many of your poets have written, but we are now his offspring. It's what the Word of God says. Now look here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Circumcision of the Spirit. That's the sign. He tells you when he's talking about the gifts that these attributes of the Holy Spirit, characteristics of the Holy Spirit, will be a sign either to believers or unbelievers, but it's a sign, the sign of my born again. Why did he call it? Why did he talk about it here, reference baptism? Because just as Jesus was baptized at 30 years of age, he was not a baby. It was by his own decision in obedience to the Father that he told John, we got to do this for the fulfillment of all things. And they went in the water. You know how I know? Because the Bible says they came out of the water. You can't get into something. You can't come out of something you didn't get into. It was immersion. Why is that important? Because that word means baptismos, or yeah, or that other one. But all there's about three of them. You know what that means? Smearing, drenching, overwhelming. Smearing, drenching, overwhelming. I taught so wrong for so long about the little dab will do you, and if you're a good boy, someday God will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Nope, that's salvation. That is salvation. Smeared, drenched, overwhelmed, new identity, new name, child of the promise. It's called Borneo, born again. Lest a man be born again, he will not see, nor will he enter the kingdom of God. I have given you a sign, thus saith the Lord, the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, has now brought life to your mortal body. Why in the world would the church look dead when we've been given life? We're children of the promise, and we're marked with a sign. You know what used to really tick me off, and nobody does it anymore because they know better? You remember all the Antichrist stuff running around? You know, they just went to church every Sunday to just working on this Antichrist thing. We got to get this bad guy fixed up. You know, you just can't really have a good God until you got a villain. We got to have a villain. So we've took two scriptures out of 1st, 2nd Timothy, and we got 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and we've got Revelation, and we're going to put all this in a pile, and now we got us a boogeyman. Now, right now, I can tell I'm monkeying with some of y'all's theology. You better be careful, because you'll take the mark of the beast. How many of y'all heard him talk about forever? Remember Y2K? Some of y'all old enough to know the year 2000, all the computers are going to shut down, and it's going to be dark, and it's going to get cold, and we ain't going to have nothing to eat. And blah, 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 and the Antichrist is coming. And you know when it happens now, y'all stay ready, because don't take the mark of the beast. Poop on him. I got the mark of God, for crying out loud. Who cares about the mark of the beast when I got the mark of God? That's ridiculous. It's the same people that worry day in and day out about this yapping chihuahua pulling on your pant legs, and we call him Satan. Poop on him too. I'm a child of the Most High. Does he monkey with me? Yes, but it's only at my discretion. Listen to that one more time. Yes, but it's only at my discretion. He cannot do anything to me that I don't allow. So what I think, what I say, what I do, who I hang around, what I put in my body, what I put in my mouth, where I place myself, who I hang around, all has to do with what authority I give that yapping chihuahua. But while that's going on, I have the mark of God. That's good stuff, man. I'm a child of the Most High. Last place I want to go, Matthew 26. This is it. This will get us moved right up to next week. Matthew 26, and then we'll finish. Matthew 26:26. He had given commandments for where to go to prepare for the Passover meal. And he says right here, and as they were eating, some kind of music going on up here. We got a new sound man back there. Ryder J, what kind of music you got going on up here? Oh, your knee hit the thing. Wow. It must have been one of them times, you know. Y'all ain't getting Pentecostal back there on me, are you? Oh, man. He says right here, as we move on, and as they were eating, they were partaking of the Passover meal. This is the Passover. Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of a new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I'll not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until the day when we drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they'd sung a hymn, they went on out to the Mount of Olives, and you can read the rest of the story. the significance of Passover is finding Jesus. He is our Paschal Lamb. And it's by His blood that our sins are forgiven. It's by the pouring out of His Spirit that we now commune with Him in His kingdom. One of the greatest failures of Christianity and the ideals of men was the idea that the kingdom of God was somewhere else.
Well, that concludes our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.